Hello everyone and welcome to JTalk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host Mike Innes and in this episode I'll be completing the 2023 season previews, the last of four pods covering the 20 teams in the division this year, with some comment on their pre-seasons, transfer ins and outs and predictions as to what lies ahead. I'll also be previewing the matches in round one of the new J3 season. Let's jump straight in with Ehime FC, and I'll mention right off, this section of the pod has a content warning for the gentleman listener of a sensitive disposition. More of that later. First, a question from listener Condry enables a segue from the end of the last episode and FC Imabari. Do you see Ehime as a team more likely to be relegated, losing Shikoku on a wider scale to Imabari in the near future, he asks. Condry goes on to wonder if momentum will ever be on Ehime's side again. And indeed, 12 months ago, the Mighty Mekans were finally relegated after years of struggle towards the wrong end of J2. Defeats in each of the first three games of last season put them on the back foot when it came to prospects of an immediate return, but coach Kiyotaka Ishimaru oversaw one of the division's more attractive teams, who on their day could give anyone in J3 a tough game. Over the winter, Ehime released several older players, Takashi Kondo winding up at AC Nagano Paseiro, and Hiroto Tanaka signing for Blaublitz Akita. But otherwise they lost only one first-teamer, unsurprisingly exciting young left midfield player Motoki Ohara, snapped up by Sanfrecce Hiroshima and immediately loaned to Mito Hollyhock. And I think for 2023, instead of fearing relegation, Ehime could be fighting Imabari for promotion. In building his squad, Ishimaru has made use of the loan market to bring in fringe younger players from J1 and J2, like left-back Takuma Otake from Kashiwa Reysol and central midfielder Taiga Ishiura from Tokyo Verdy. As well as Ishiura, JTET listeners may know forward Shunpei Fukahori, loaned from Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma, or Yutaka Soneda, a former Ehime youth player who at the age of 28 returns to the club from Mito. Soneda may fit into the right midfield role vacated by Kondo. But ask the Ehime fans for ones to watch, and they're spoilt for choice. They may talk about 18-year-old starlet Toki Yukutomo, scorer last season of three sensational goals in only six sub-appearances, or two highly rated rookies who got 18 assists between them in the Kansai University League last year. Yuta Fukazawa may slot into the Ohara role in left midfield. Shunsuke Tanimoto brings energy and technique to the heart of the team. While preparing for the new campaign, Ehime have been particularly unlucky with injuries. Ishiura has missed much of pre-season. Another new signing, Shunsuke Kikuchi from Omiya Aradija, has ruptured his ACL, while Kyoji Kutsuna has undergone surgery on a ruptured testicle. Ow, indeed. Sorry, chaps. But on the field, Ishimaru's team can improve on last year's 7th-placed finish, can be included on the list of contenders. Now we head down to the island of Kyushu and Giravansk Kitakyushu, supporters of whom came out of 2022 hoping their team had reached the bottom of a 2.5-year spiral of decline, which saw them tumble from top of J2 to last season's final placing of 13th in J3. Coach Kenichi Amano has stepped down, and rather than promoting a successor from within, Giravants have broken that cycle and instead appointed Kazuaki Tasaka out of the game since departing Tochigi SC at the end of 2021. Having previously been in charge at Fukushima United, Tasaka brought about some considerable improvements during his 3 years at Tochigi, and it was surprising he didn't move from there into a higher profile job. But it's at Kitakyushu where the 51-year-old has re-emerged, and the evidence is Tasaka faces a challenge. Three key players have left the club. Their best performer of 2022, forward Ryo Sato, has joined Gunma. Defenders Takashi Kawano and So Fujitani have moved to Akita and Matsumoto Yamaga, respectively. When it comes to new signings, there are certainly good players among them, but the scale of Giravants' dealings serves to sound a note of caution. Kota Munamatsu returns to the club after a season at Viva Nagasaki and looks set to go straight back into central defence. Ryosuke Tada has been made captain following his move from SC Sagamihara and may step into Fujitani's boots at right back. The most eye-catching signings both played left midfield last year. Speed star Ryusei Nose from Vanrare Hachinohe, Yuki Okada, fresh from his 14-goal season at Tegevajano Miyazaki. Tasaka will surely need to find both of them a place in his team. Other than those four, however, Giravants have only brought in rookies, increasing the likelihood that the new coach will be blooding younger players from among an already young squad. Takumi Wakaya from Yamanashi Gakuin University may be their one to watch, an excellent prospect in central midfield. Ko Seung-jin brings to the attack a prolific scoring record at Nippon Bunri University. As with Sagamihara, though, the perhaps unexpected coaching appointment combined with a shift to focus more on youth means there's an unpredictability about the club and a difficulty in gleaning how well the Sunflowers might do. Stylistically, Tasaka was a straight down the line 4-4-2 man in his Tochigi days. That team's approach based to a large extent on a work ethic and physicality embodied by goal-scoring centre-back Yasutaka Yanagi. None of that appears to match who's in the squad at the Mikuni World Stadium, and an overall confusing picture means it's hard to predict real improvement at Kitakyushu. Preparing for their third season in the J-League, and the polite way to describe things at Tegevajaro Miyazaki is that the evolution of the squad continues away from the group who won promotion from the JFL and went on to finish third in J3 2021. The less polite way would be to say they continue to lose their best players and those coming in to replace them look like downgrades. Of the mainstays from the last 2 years, among the outfield players, it's really only centre-back and captain Kenji Dai, who's now 33, and left-sided Kenta Okuma, who remain at the club and provide some continuity. The latest departures include two outstanding members of the promotion-winning team, midfield duo Kazuki Chibu and Yudai Tokunaga, who go to Kagoshima United and Fujieda MyFC, respectively. As already mentioned in this episode, top scorer Yuki Okada has joined Kitakyushu, while his partner on the left-hand side, Kairi Shinbo, has also moved on after his loan deal came to an end. There's a change of coach as well, Yasushi Takasaki, who on reflection may have overachieved in securing a ninth-placed finish last year, has stepped down after a single season in charge to be replaced by Hiroshi Matsuda, 62 and very experienced. Matsuda has, in the last 12 months alone, taken the helm at both Nagasaki and Gamba Osaka, adopting a basic no-nonsense approach, which previously one might have said was at odds with the requirements of a small but progressive club. Perhaps we need to assess this idea differently post-Iwaki FC. But be that as it may, Matsuda brings with him two players, veteran dribbler Ryohei Yamazaki from Nagasaki, and on loan from Gamba, 18-year-old forward and one-to-watch Harumi Minamino, who in 2022 got some playing time in J1, including a start in the away game at Kawasaki Frontale, no less. After those two, and potentially rookie Kazuma Nagata, who last year scored 9 times from central midfield for Fukuoka University, the interest at Tegevajaro falls away pretty quickly. Daisuke Ishizu's contributions to FC Gifu 2022 are best forgotten, apart from his very nice hair. Shintaro Ihara returns to Miyazaki after a season of bench-sitting at Kagoshima. By my reckoning, the signing of Taishi Nishioka from Ehime brings the number of right-backs in the squad to a frankly unnecessary 6. Akakichino 11 asks, are Tegevajaro now an established J3 team, or more than that? They certainly are established in the division, but the divergence between them and Imabari as the previous newcomers to the league is becoming more apparent. Maybe Hachinohe are a more appropriate point of comparison after all. It looks like a difficult year ahead for Miyazaki. During the 2022 J3 season, Kagoshima United spent 19 of the 34 weeks in the promotion places. Come week 34, however, they found themselves 1 point and 1 position behind runners-up Fujieda MyFC, meaning Naoto Otake's team missed out and so are required to prepare once again for a campaign in Japan's third tier. As was discussed in the season review in December, the question is, what do Kagoshima need to do to get back to J2? Now we get a chance to look at the steps they have taken. In assessing the eventual disappointment of 2022, the local paper, the Minami Nippon Shimbun, commented that the downturn in the second half of the season was in part due to the squad's difficulty in coping with the physical demands when so many players were in their 30s. This has informed Kagoshima's strategy for their winter transfer dealings. What they decided they needed to do was bring in players in their mid-20s who were first-teamers at other clubs, and a consequence of the strategy's execution is the squad now look better placed to deal with the challenges of a longer season. Overseeing all this has been Naoto Otake, staying on as coach for a second year. He's released fringe players and lost only one regular goalkeeper, Shuma Shirasaka, who's returned to Yokohama F. Marinos at the end of his loan. And Otake has brought in plenty of J3 experience to give more quality options. Shirasaka will likely be replaced by either Issei Oichi, loaned from Yokohama FC, coming out of a solid season on loan at Nagano, or Kenta Matsuyama from Iwate Gruja Morioka. Also from Iwate comes centre-back Issei Tone, who previously had 2 good seasons at Katare Toyama and will be competition for Kenta Hirose and Shosei Okamoto. A strong partnership in the first half of 2022 before Okamoto was injured. Kazuki Chibu has been the midfield linchpin for Miyazaki, while Shota Suzuki, a key member of Iwaki's title-winning attack, and lightning-quick Shuntaro Kawabe from YSCC Yokohama add serious depth in attacking midfield and maybe longer-term replacements for the likes of Frank Romero and Junki Goryeo. A late signing from Vissel Kobe is veteran striker Noriaki Fujimoto, a returning hero having scored 39 goals for Kagoshima over the 2016 and 2017 seasons. Nothing's perfect. Can Otake really expect Corki Arita to have such a good season again? And if he can't, will other players like Fujimoto successfully fill the gap? Yuto Kide and star turn Rei Yonezawa both ruptured ACLs in the final weeks of last year and are expected to be out until the summer. But Jovial John Steele asks the key question. Is it Kagoshima's year? And the Smoking Volcanoes go into J3 2023 as the smoking hot favourites. J-Talk Extra Time. Finally, we come to FC Ryukyu, ahead of their first season back in J3 since 2018. Lots of listener questions here, so let's start with the Imabari anchor who asks, what do you think of Ryukyu's new appointment as manager, Kazuki Kuranuki? The club's recent track record with internal appointments isn't great. I'm thinking of you, Tetsuhiro Kina. But Kuranuki has only been at the club for a single season, admittedly the 2022 relegation campaign, and his experience is based on 7 years on the staff at Tokushima Vortis. From Vortis, he brings with him on loan central midfielder Rin Morita, a key figure in Nara Club's JFL title-winning side, and Shiryu Fujiwara, promising left-sided player overlooked by Tokushima coach Danny Poyatos. But the challenge facing Kuranuki is, as with other clubs like Iwate and Sagamihara, the extent of the changes to the Ryukyu squad. All told, more than 20 players have departed, including mainstays of last year's team like Ren Ikeda, Yuki Omoto and top scorer Yuki Kusano, all of whom have found deals back in J2. All the squad's central defenders have left, making that a particular area of attention for the new coach. Yusuke Muta looks like he'll be key, a J3 promotion-winning captain with Iwate, but he did find the going tough in the higher division last season. Potentially alongside Muta is big rookie Shusuke Yamauchi, who signs from Kwansei Gakuin University, champions of the Kansai University League. Other signings include Shu Hiramatsu, who's spent most of the last two seasons as a hard worker in wide midfield roles for Zvegan Kanazawa. Forward Haruto Shirai, joining after a season on the bench at Fajiano Okayama, but bringing J3 experience from Gamba Osaka under-23. And the late arrival of ex-international forward Mu Kanazaki, now 34 and released by Oita Trinita at the end of 2022. Kanazaki may grab some headlines, but yeah, strong FC Gifu vibes about this one. Maybe it'll work out well for Ryukyu, I guess we'll see. Injuries to Fujiwara and Hiramatsu have disrupted their integration with the squad, both players expected to be out until the end of April. Two more questions to finish with. Dan Olovitz asks, can Ryukyu get out of the division quickly, or are they stuck in hell now like Kita Kyushu? While Thomas Pennington wonders, have Ryukyu done enough to put themselves in the picture for automatic promotion? Glossing over the suggestion that the J-League's coolest division can be equated to hell, the fact is, only Oita Trinita in 2016 have ever won promotion straight back to J2. And to me, as things stand, there's just too much uncertainty surrounding the squad to speak confidently about Ryukyu as contenders. That completes all 20 of the club previews for what promises to be a compelling and exciting season. Kagoshima may be clear favourites, but the field is certainly wide open for another competitive team to win promotion. Nagano, Imabari, Ehime, the Giants of Matsumoto? Or could another club come from the pack to steal a place in J2, like Fujieda, Iwate and Sagamihana have all done in recent seasons? What do we have to look forward to from the league newcomers FC Osaka and Nana? And we also have in front of us the first ever J3 relegation battle. For me, it's Numazu and Sagamihana who begin the campaign with the greatest sense of trepidation. But who knows? I hope you'll join me each week throughout the season in the J-Talk Short Corner segment of J-Talk Extra Time, and together we can watch these stories unfold. One more thing I must do before signing off is take a quick look ahead to the Round 1 fixtures over the weekend, when there are three games to kick off the season on Saturday the 4th of March. Favourites Kagoshima start at home to new boys FC Osaka. Relegated Ryukyu host the team beginning the year with their longest away trip, that's Hachinohe. And Kazuyuki Toda's new-look Sagamihana take on Tottori. The other seven matches are on Sunday the 5th. The other J-League newbies Nana will welcome a big travelling contingent from Matsumoto. Home games for two of my promotion contenders, Imabari against Fukushima, Ehime against relegated Iwate. Nagano, meanwhile, go to Miyazaki. Toyama are at YSCC, and Gifu face a trip to Kitakyushu. Lastly, both sides will be eyeing this one up for 3 points. It's Sanuki against Numazu. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.